was said to have asked in the Gospels. Today's is not particularly easy. So on this holiday weekend, I thought afterwards, why did I pick this? But life is difficult these days, and we know so many people who are struggling. And if we have been alive for any length of time, suffering is inevitable. Death is as common as birth. Joy and happiness mingle in our lives with pain and sorrow. Thistles grow in grain fields. This is life on earth. No one has ever escaped experiencing any of these things. It's simply how life has evolved. And Jesus was not immune to human experience, because of course he was human. But what might surprise us when we think about it is that his response to suffering was exactly the same as ours. He cried. He got angry. He told people off. And when Jesus found himself suffering the most horrible degradation, pain, and loss that could ever be inflicted on a human being, torture really, hanging on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? And that's the question we ask today. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Why does it seem like you have left me? Who, as a person of faith, hasn't thought or felt or expressed this question in one form or another, often shortened to, why? Why is this happening to me or to somebody I love? And we shake our fists at God. We all wonder why bad things happen and why God doesn't somehow do more to help us in difficult times or to change the circumstances. And it is a valid question to ask if you believe in a loving and powerful God. If you believe that God is a God of love and God is a God of power, why doesn't God do more to change the world's circumstances? It is such a difficult and universal question. People suffer, and in their suffering, they assume that God is not there. They don't feel God's presence. We don't. It's a heavy subject for summer. Yet we are hearing about so much suffering in the world today. It's a necessary question to ask. And I want to talk just for a moment about suffering, because it is such a universal experience. And I want to actually debunk two notions that we have about suffering. One, that all suffering is equal. Not all suffering is the same, and people don't experience it in equal amounts. Suffering is not fair. So if you believe that God distributes things equally and that there won't be more suffering for some person than another, that's not true. Suffering is not fair. Some people will suffer far more than others due to, most of the time, circumstances beyond their control. Circumstances of birth or illness that they can do nothing about. And people in poorer countries or poorer people suffer disproportionate amounts of pain and suffering. Why, we ask. We know the concrete circumstances of people's lives, but we'll never be able to answer that question of why, because it's not fair. It's just not fair. Secondly, I would really like us to put this statement to bed. God will never give us more than we can bear. I hope you don't say it. I hope you'll never say it. because it's simply not true. Lots of people and creatures suffer more than they can bear. Why do people self-medicate? Because they are suffering more than they can bear. Why do we even have pain medications? Because people are suffering more than they can handle. If we could all bear the suffering, we wouldn't need any of those things. Why do people end their own lives? Because they can't bear the pain. Why do people seek help for mental or emotional pain? Because they are suffering more than they can bear and they need help. We do suffer more than we can bear. Fortunately, many of us have resources to help us survive the pain and the suffering. So I beg you never to say to somebody, God doesn't give us more than we can bear. Yet, against all reason, I also believe this, that God is with us when we suffer. Even though we may go through long periods when we don't feel or experience God, God's there. And perhaps it has to do with where we look for God in those times. I've often asked this question of people, where do you see or experience God? And most often their response is, in a sunrise, in nature, in a baby's giggle, in a smile, a hug, a kind word, things like that. People don't have a problem seeing or experiencing God when they're feeling this sense of awe and wonder and delight and love. These experiences themselves are kind of these big, expansive experiences that open us up to beauty and amazement, often joy. And they somehow are those experiences that open our hearts and make us feel like we're actually part of something bigger and grander, just like we imagine God. And these moments are moments that somehow fill our hearts and we feel God's presence in them. We often, in fact, feel joy and peace. And this, we think, is God. Difficult experiences, on the other hand, though normal and natural to humans, do not lead us to the same experience of God. So when I ask the question, where do you see or feel or experience in God? I have never had people answer that they find God in pain and suffering and fear. They may afterwards see that God was in it, somewhere with them. But only after the struggle. Because these moments when we're in such pain and suffering seem suffocating and reduce us to something so small and mortal, not big and grand. In these moments, our lives are reduced to one painful moment at a time, whether it's physical or mental or emotional. And in these moments, we feel lonely and troubled, perhaps even abandoned, as Jesus did. And God seems very far away from us in these moments when we are simply trying to survive. We cannot experience God in beauty the same way we experience God in suffering. Because we're in a different state then. When our hearts are open and in awe at creation, God seems big and wonderful and present. And when we are reduced to simply surviving, our hearts are not so receptive. And it feels like the grand God, the big God we have faith in, seems so much farther away when we are literally or figuratively curled up in this tight little ball of pain or grief or doubt. We are often told that God is with us at all times. It's just so much harder to find it in our suffering. Because regardless of who or what we think God is, we have expectations of God, that God will show up when we need God. And when God doesn't show up in the ways that we want, we feel or think that God has completely forsaken us, abandoned us. And I want to say today, against all reason, that I don't believe that God ever, ever abandons us. God can't abandon us because God is love, and love never abandons what it loves. We may not experience God's love in the way we want to receive it, yet God is with us all of the time, even when we don't feel it. God is not a fair weather friend. And what if for a moment we kind of just took that question and turned it around? My God, why have we abandoned you? How much effort do we put into connecting with God in an intimate and profound way so that when we need God, we already have built a relationship with God? We don't have an on-demand God. We have an always God. We cultivate an intimacy with God daily if we want to know God in our difficult times. And let me get at this another way. If you have a really good friendship with somebody, a really tight relationship with somebody, whether that's somebody in your family or a friend, a loved one, that sort of thing, would you expect them to be there with you going through difficult times? We hope so. We believe they would be if we've built that kind of relationship. Now, do we put the same kind of effort into our relationship with God, with the hope that God will also be with us when we're going through difficult times? And sometimes it won't feel like it. Just like people in our lives that we love dearly won't be with us when we think they should be all the time. We know they love us, but they're not always there 24/7. I actually do believe this. God is with us all of the time. We just take this on faith. There's no other way to take it. I take as our foundational story that God, it is God who breathed and continues to breathe life into us, into all creation. We would not be alive without God continuing to breathe life into us. And if this is the case, then God truly is always present, whether we feel close to God or even feel abandoned by God. God is still as close as our breath. The challenge then is not whether God is there, it's whether we've built the relationship that sustains us through all times. I trust, I don't know it or always feel it, that God is with me even when I can't feel God's presence. If I am tuned into life, into my life, I can access God and God's intimate presence most times, though admittedly not all times. I do get wrapped up in my own little stuff. We can also learn to see God in places where we don't expect God to be. I often see God in others, even if they can't see it in themselves. I see God in people who suffer terribly and yet have the courage, strength, and resilience to carry on. I believe that's God sustaining them. I see God in people who overcome incredible obstacles to do amazing things. And I experience God in my ability to get up every day and face the world no matter how bad it gets. I see God in people who care for me, care for us, people we haven't even met. And I experience God when I can sit with God and share my pain and struggles. And it's deeper than a feeling. It is some kind of knowing, presence. Now, I say this as well. God is not just in those who believe, but in all creation, in all people. God is not a God of some. God is a God of all. Because God is not limited by any belief system. Where is God in our suffering? God is in the care that we receive from others and in their prayers for us. It is in the strength and courage we find when we don't seem to be able to go on in our own power. God is in the comfort we receive from the smallest gifts and graces. When our world becomes small because we turn inward, God comes in the smallest of packages. A word, a smile, a touch, a meal at our doorstep, a moment of clarity or hope, or a relief from the pain when we can just in that moment smile or laugh. That's God. God is not big when we feel so small. God will match us in size and will meet our needs moment by moment. My God, why have you abandoned me? Jesus cried out. We will feel abandoned by God. Jesus didn't avoid that. We won't be abandoned by God, though. Our faith reminds us that God will never abandon us. So how can we start today to find God in the small places so that when we feel that God has abandoned us, we can remember what it's like to spend God in small moments, and that God is found always where we are, in those smallest of grace and gift. Let's take a moment for reflection.